そこ一回飲酒で飲んだしか。
That again. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City of Aurora Grande Council meeting. This is Tuesday, April 23rd. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Ray?
Here.
Councilmember Brown?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Here.
Mayor Ferrara?
Here. We have someone here from Aurora Grande Rotary to do that for us this evening. Thank you for being here. And if you would, please remain standing. If you're checking the agenda, you'll see that I was originally listed to give the invocation tonight. However, I've enlisted the support of a true professional. Pastor Ron's here from Harvest Church, standing after the flag salute.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In light of the events that have transpired in Boston, Massachusetts, and in West Texas, dear Heavenly Father, the Apostle Paul describes you as the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our trials so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves have been. City Council meeting here in Rio Grande, Lord, we want to lift up those in Boston, those in West Texas that are suffering and grieving right now over the loss of friends and family. Lord, that you would indeed bring comfort to them, help them, Lord, to recover and find solace and refuge in you. And also, Lord, we pray for Mayor Tony Guthrie, Karen Ray, and Tim Brown, for they are entrusted with the welfare and safety of our city. And so, Lord, we ask you to give them wisdom to do that in a way that is truly going to prosper the citizens of this community, we pray. In your name, amen.
Thanks so much, Pastor. Appreciate you taking time to be here. And we get to hear a little bit about Rotary. What's the club been up to?
No good, just trouble. thank you, Council, for having us here. A couple things Rotary's been up to. We're changing over presidents, having Lenny Jones stepping in. We do have our Rotary relays at the middle schools. That's actually May 4th. We're honoring a past member of our Rotary Club and a community member, Kaz Akeda, for that event this year. So it'll be the Kaz Akeda Rotary fiscal year. We do give our scholarships out. We're going to be giving out a couple scholarships to Rio Grande High School and Lopez. We're going to be giving over $10,000, so that's kind of all the events we've done for the year. That's all starting to pay off. The Chili Festival in August and our annual fish fry. I'm encouraging everybody to come out because all that money goes back so we can give it away to the community and to our scholarships. So thank you again for having us here.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Item 5 is agenda review, but before we get into the agenda review on the printed agenda, I did want to make an announcement. Recently, the Aurora Grande High School and certainly the chair, Greg DeNike, very special individual, very special indeed to one of our council members, Council Member Ray, and she's asked to say a few words about Greg, and we aren't going to adjourn tonight's meeting in honor of his memory. So, Karen?
Thank you. Within a pretty rough morning for a lot of us who are alumni here in Rio Grande, Coach DeNike, and so I immediately emailed Tony and asked if we could adjourn in Coach DeNike's honor tonight. It's really hard to summarize what's been over the internet and in the obituaries in several papers because he's a Hall of Fame coach, but he also came down to my high school district as a colleague and worked at PV and Rigetti High School for the end of his career. And personally, being interested in athletics, I joined the cross-country team the moment I got to Aurora Grande High School. I found out very quickly that I am not meant to be a land animal, and I'm a fish. But the lessons that I learned from Coach Denike were team, and it made no difference if we were the last person or the first person, and he taught us about hard work and perseverance and how to be a champion. And I took that immediately forward into my swim career and achieved things I never thought was possible, and he's the one who got me started. So, Coach Denike, God bless you, and rest in peace, and we'll adjourn in your honor tonight.
Thank you. Agenda review. Item 5A, closed session announcement. The council did meet in closed session on Tuesday, March 26th, where we discussed real property issues. We have no report out of closed session at this time. Item 5B, move ordinances presented for introduction or adoption. Be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 6 is special presentations. We have two this evening. 6A is an honorary item 6B is an honorary proclamation declaring May 2013 as Bike Month. And this evening, I apologize, I'm suffering from a kind of an uncomfortable pulled muscle in my neck, so I've trying to remain as still as I can, and I'm asking do that. So, Joe, thank you.
I'll go down to the podium. Kristen and Scott. Well, come on up, Scott. It's my privilege present the honorary proclamation declaring April 26, 2013 as Arbor Day. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees, and whereas this holiday trees in Nebraska, and whereas in 2013, the 141st anniversary of Arbor Day occurs and is now observed throughout the world and the nation, and whereas trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cut heating and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce life-giving oxygen, and provide a renewable resource giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products, increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, beautify our communities, and the trees are a source of joy and spiritual renewal. And whereas the city of Arroyo Grande has been recognized as a Tree City USA by the National Arbor Day Foundation for the 30th of the city of Arroyo Grande, on behalf of the entire City Council, hereby recognizes and proclaims Friday, April 26th as Arbor Day in the city of Arroyo Grande, urges all citizens to observe Arbor Day and to support efforts of our trees, and support efforts to care for our trees and woodlands, and support our communities, can resolve that all citizens are urged to plant a tree to gladden the heart and promote the well-being of this and all future generations. My privilege and pleasure. So, Scott and Kristen, thank you very much, and I think
thank you, Mayor Farrar and the City Council, for recognizing the Tree Guild and Arbor Day, and we appreciate that you recognize all the benefits that trees have to our communities. We feel very fortunate to be able to speak English. We formed a great partnership that we think is beneficial to the community, and we really appreciate this. The Tree Guild is a nonprofit 501c3 that was formed in 2005, and our mission is to preserve and enhance the urban forest of Arroyo Grande. The goal this year is to plant 50 more throughout the city of Arroyo Grande. Trees do more than create shade and look nice, as we discussed. They have all the benefits, as you've mentioned, such as energy saving, air quality, reducing stormwater, and increasing property values. In addition to, they've even improved commercial districts with trees. Our next project will be to enhance the St. Patrick's Catholic Cemetery by planting 21 trees around the perimeter. And that'll be adjacent to the Hampton Inn off West Branch. Our website is www.treeguild.org and join directly from there. So thank you again for your support.
Behalf. We also this is an honorary proclamation declaring May 2013 as Bike Month and May 13th through the 17th as Bike to Work and School Week. Whereas bicycle commuting is an effective means to reduce air pollution, conserve energy, and promotes the livability, and whereas bicycle transportation is an integral part of the multimodal transportation systems planned by federal, state, regional, and local transportation agencies, and whereas Bike Month is a San Luis Obispo countywide celebration of human-powered transportation, which encourages people of all ages in a school week and bike to work week competition, encourage citizens to ride their bicycles, thereby reducing vehicular emissions in the county. Therefore, be it resolved that the mayor, Tony Ferrara, on behalf of the city council, has proclaimed May 2013 as Bike Month and May 13th through the 17th, 2013, as Bike to Work and School Week in the city of Arroyo Grande. So get out there and ride your bikes, folks.
All right, moving along to item 7, community comments and comment on items that are not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any formal action on matters not posted on the agenda. We would ask that you keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Once again, items not posted on the agenda. Anyone who would like to come forward, community comments and suggestions? Anyone? Seeing no one, we'll close item 7. We'll move on to item 8, which is our consent agenda. The consent agenda is a group of items that the council normally approves in one action. Unless there is an item on the consent agenda that a member of the council would like to pull for further clarification, discussion, or an independent action. This is also an opportunity. If you're following along on the agenda, this evening we're going to be addressing consent items 8A through 8B. So this would be an opportunity for anyone to come forward on any of those items. Anyone? Okay, seeing no one, we will close public comment on the consent agenda. We'll bring this to the council. All right, no items to pull. I'll entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8H.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Anything to read in there this evening, Tim?
No ordinances, Mayor Farrar.
Yes. Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Moving on to item 9, public hearing. We have none this evening. Item 10 is continued business. 10A is a consideration of the police station upgrade, 270 North Halcyon Road. Good evening, Chief. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening. Thank you. Our architect should be here in a moment, so we can get started. We'd like to have him make a few comments, but they're later in the presentation. Due to a number of issues, staff has modified our recommendations on how best to address the police department's facility needs. We believe these recommendations present the most responsible, given the city's financial constraints and other service level needs at this time. As you know, our priority throughout this process has been to try to determine how best to address the city's long-term needs in the most cost-efficient way. One of the problems at this time, term needs are, as well as what some of the long-term city financial resources that will be available. So as I mentioned, there are a number of concerns modifying these recommendations. First of all, there are a number of remaining budget concerns regarding the city's budget, and that makes us cautious about wanting to issue long-term debt at this point. The West Branch Street and Old Ranch Road property is no longer available. At least the police consolidation efforts will be reconsidered in the future. However, the existing site has very little ability to expand to meet potential future expansion needs for a consolidated effort or other things that may take place in the future. It's becoming much more difficult to obtain approval for USDA low interest loan financing, which we have been counting on. But most importantly is two recent actions by the state to release more parolees the police department's staffing needs have increased, and we now believe that those needs are a higher priority at this time than a new facility. And in a moment, after I go through some of my comments, I'm going to be asking Chief Annibale to go through that in a little more detail and also explain the plan for the position that he would like to have refunded. Result, we are now proposing to address these needs in a phased approach. And at this time, we are proposing to remodel the existing building to address the most high priority and immediate needs with existing funding that's budgeted. We would then propose to come back probably in approximately 5 years to relook at that time. We would want to look at a number of things. For example, whether or not there's been increased revenues or new revenues that could be dedicated for that project at that time to be able to fund it without a bond measure, whether or not police consolidation is reconsidered and potentially savings from that could be dedicated to addressing facility needs that would be necessary to accommodate consolidated operation. It's voting requirements for a bond measure that could make another bond measure more feasible. So those are all things we would want to look at that time. What type of plan we would go forward with at that time would then really depend upon what the circumstances were. If nothing changes and everything's the same as it is right now, the improvements we are proposing to the facility at this time would be adequate to continue to meet the city's needs for a longer period of time. Stances at that point and what the additional needs are and opportunities would dictate where we go from there. I wanted to review with you briefly the summary of our cost analysis for what we're proposing. And the first is cost. The design and construction costs are estimated to be $975,000. This the costs were estimated by our architect. He provided a range, and for the purposes of this estimate, we took the middle of the range, so we felt fairly confident with that cost. Going down to land acquisition, these recommendations involve a proposal to acquire the VCA adjacent property to utilize at a price of $325,000. So that's being recommended, and we do have a purchase and sale agreement as part of your staff report. The other ones, relocation, we budgeted $40,000. That's very preliminary. Obviously, working off a preliminary plan. We have not developed a relocation plan yet. So that is kind of an earmarked amount of money. We think it's probably fairly close to units on the site, but we would need to come back with a more detailed plan and probably revise those costs a little bit. $60,000 is recommended for equipment or projected for equipment. Most of those costs are associated with new lockers in the locker room facilities. And then we are recommending some small amount to also be programmed for in-house construction management. Most of the construction management tasks are being recommended. There would still be in-house work to oversee that and oversee change orders and those type of things. So we plugged in $10,000 to cover those costs. And so that comes to $1,410,000. As far as revenues proposed to fund the project, the existing budget has approximately $710,000 in local sales tax funds available. Budgeted for this project. We're recommending that in the 2000 local sales tax funds. Currently, we have programmed in that year $180,000. So if you add the position that we want to fund from that money, which is about $125,000, this would go over that by about $45,000 in this particular year. That would be a one-time expense that year. We are programming in the future years that it would stick with that $180,000 that we formerly had programmed facility-related efforts, and then about $125,000 to $130,000 will fund the position. This first year, we would need a little more for the project construction, but we've already gone through the plan and the budget, and we think that can be accommodated fairly easily without impacting any other projects. We programmed or estimated about $580,000 in net revenue from the sale of the three old. We are estimating we should have about $20,000 in the police facility development impact fee account that could be used for this project. So revenues and expenditures balance. It's obviously a very tight budget. But I think the key things to mention, and going back, it is a very conceptual plan. It's preliminary. It's, not unusual for some of those costs to change. But the key here is we're talking about a much smaller doing any long-term debt. So that gives us a little more flexibility. We'll obviously want to keep the budget as close to this as we can, but it does give us a little more flexibility to make some adjustments that could likely occur. Just a few unresolved issues to mention briefly. I mentioned relocation, so we would need to come back with a more detailed plan on the relocation. We're a little more confident now on that site, which would have been pretty disruptive. We're talking about much less construction and a shorter construction period and more ability to maybe place modular units on the site. So it certainly would be an impact, but we think it'll be much more feasible at this point. Parking, unfortunately, the initial site plan that we've provided to you, which incorporates the prior direction we received from the council to maintain all the trees on the site. As a result, we're recommending that the council direct staff to come back with some alternatives of how we could increase parking in the complex on that site, as well as maybe some other areas of the police department parking. Which some may involve removal of the trees that are there. But I want to emphasize we're not making any recommendation to them, really be able to weigh the pros and cons of the different options and then make a decision at that point as far as how you want to utilize that site in the long term. Street widening, you'll notice the site plan does not include widening of Halcyon, even though that's a strategy in the future for that street. We felt we could come back and do that later since we're not really developing that. It is designed to be able to accommodate the widening without it impacting significantly the parking or potentially the park landscape area on the front of the site that we're proposing. But I went through the transportation facility fund, and the original study for those impact fees does identify widening along Halcyon as one of the eligible projects. And so we could take, and one advantage of that is we are about to pave Halcyon this summer. So it'd be something we might want to at least think about. The only detriment is it would take some funding that we would otherwise be using for the Briscoe project. But given the size of that budget and the amount of money that would be needed for this, I think it would have a pretty minimal impact on it. But anyway, something to be thinking about, and we could bring a couple options to you. A significant item that was identified as gold that we're not addressing is an expanded EOC, and so we would continue to have an EOC in that building that wouldn't be sufficient to utilize as the primary EOC site, wouldn't be sufficient to serve, or likely wouldn't be sufficient to serve as any kind of joint EOC with other jurisdictions. So in that area, it didn't accomplish our goal. But for the most part, but at least some of the key critical concerns, I think we've addressed most of the others. And Craig, the architect, will go over that in more detail in a moment. So here is what we're recommending this evening as far as City Council actions. We recommend that you approve the conceptual plan, the staff report, approve the purchase and sale agreement for the VCA property, direct staff to prepare parking alternatives, including options involving the trees, and then authorize use of local sales tax funds for the senior officer position that's proposed. Once again, that position is not a new position. It was a former position that was frozen, and it's been held unfunded, and so what we're proposing to do is now funded. Point to talk a little bit more about the police department. and their increased staffing needs, as well as how he would like to utilize that position.
Great, thank you. Excuse me, thank you. Speaking to the staffing needs in the police department, the department had 27 sworn officers in their ranks, and soon after in 2000, the budget year 2008 and 2009, we lost our first position that was unfunded, a sergeant's position, and along with, if you recall, a number of support staff positions, non-sworn. We went from then 26 sworn to another unfunded position, which was a senior officer position, which took us down to 25 sworn members in the department. I think we all are familiar with the state's AB 109 and the impact that's having statewide on communities throughout California. As far as the religion is not immune to that, and it's no exception here, although we'd like to think that it wouldn't affect us, it does. Some examples, just to give you an idea, is in the first quarter of 2013, which we haven't even closed yet, we currently have about a 67% increase in robberies, 46% increase in vehicle thefts in the community, and that's for these first not even 4 months of the year. Why those numbers are important to us is because we're seeing many more parolees released in our community or visiting our community from neighboring cities than we've ever seen before. The officers are working diligently, so it's not an issue as to the hard work that they're doing. It's just simply that the numbers have gotten to a point where those lost positions now have become pretty significant to us. And let me tell you why those are significant. The last position we lost that took us to 25 sworn was a senior officer position. It was the second detective. There's a sergeant, and there was originally a sergeant and two detectives in investigation. We lost one of those detective positions, so we only had two detectives in investigations. Currently, we do. And we've been operating that way for almost 2 years because of vacancies and then, of course, the loss of the position. All these crimes that we talk about, and I know many of you up there are familiar with this, many of them have to go from taking the report to obviously the very important part of it, and that is solving the crime. And that sends those cases over to investigations. You can only imagine if you have only two detectives trying to work these caseloads, that all we're doing at this point is handling the highest priority cases, large property crimes or persons crimes, and we're unable to kind of provide the service that we feel that we need to provide. That's why earlier this year I asked to meet with the city manager, and I think we all know how driven I've been to try to get us in a new police facility and the need for a new police facility, but I asked to meet with the manager and explained to him that my concern was my first obligation is to the public and providing proper service to the public, and that we had reached a point both with the impact of AB 109 and the reduction in staff that I did not think that we could continue to do both, meaning continue to support the idea of a new police facility and the cost involved with that while we can't even staff the positions that we have currently in the department. So I asked if we would take a look at reevaluating where we were at, and I was not opposed to putting it on a back burner, but I needed to get that, I quite frankly needed that 26th position back. I needed that other detective. The good news was that the manager had also, as he pointed out in his presentation, was also thinking of some options and concerns about the budget, and so that's what led us to where we are today. Oh, excuse me, one last thing. So just to clarify, the position we're talking about is not a new position. It's a refunding of that 26th position, and that position is the detective in investigation, so we could go back to having three detectives working cases there.
Okay. Now we'd like to turn it over to Craig Atkinson, who is the architect on this project. And just to briefly go through with you the specifics of what we were trying to address, given our limited space we had to work with, and how much of that he was able to address and how he was able to accomplish that in this preliminary design.
Good evening, Council. I would like to start by saying that Coach DeNike's reach was pretty far. He coached my son for 2 years at Rigetti, who's a senior this year, and just finished playing basketball, and he texted me shortly after he found out from his coach. So it's been people in Santa Maria are just as much touched by his passing. When I first, I think around the last city council meeting, I called Teresa to find out how the project was going, and they called me in to talk, and we had a meeting about the project as it sits right now. And they asked me to come up with a conceptual plan of how they could reuse the existing site. And some of the main concerns on the site were being able to get secure parking for the staff, being able to accommodate additional storage needs on the site to allow them to free up portions of the building to be able to get investigations in there and do other things. And then also to, in that discussion, we talked about looking at the entry, dealing with you know, current ADA accessibility and making sure that all that would take this facility into the next 5 years. So the plan that you have before you now accommodates that. It does use a portion of the VCA property, leaves the trees in place. It allows us to park 23 vehicles on that portion of the site, 23 staff vehicles. The initial number that we were working with in all the other plans was approximately 32 vehicles. What this doesn't necessarily accomplish is some of the auxiliary vehicles that the police have, but it does park 23 staff vehicles. The downside, I guess, or the downside of the trees is that it creates, you have to create two entrances into two kind of separated parking lot, and then you'll connect the two by some sort of walkway that goes through the tree line, which is kind of what I'd be showing kind of in the tan area in the northernmost parking lot. And then installing an inexpensive storage type structure in the existing parking lot. This plan also shows you when we get into the building that we'd be adding approximately 800 square feet to accommodate some of the additional building needs, and then be doing a survey of the existing accessible parking to the west and the entrance to make sure, making any modifications that we need to make to make sure that's per current code. So when we started talking about the buildings, the things that were important was just a general cleanup of finishes and on the interior, the need to repair the roof and some leaking walls, the ability to remodel the locker areas to make them larger to accommodate a more an adequate patrol locker, which they don't currently have. They're currently operating in 12-inch lockers that would be kind of like you would have at a school, which don't really accommodate all the elements that a current patrol officer has to carry. And then trying to locate investigations inside the building to accommodate greater use of the site. And then an upgrade of the low voltage or the data side of the building. Right now they've got sort of for not having a real technical term, there's a fairly bit of spaghetti in the data room. And so talking about cleaning that up, removing all the outdated elements, and then making it in a room that's separated from the electrical. So this is the existing facility as it sits today. This is the lobby entrance here, the dispatch room, records and administration here, interview rooms, the old locker rooms, the administration area here, the holding area in this area over here, briefing room, and then the existing sally port. So what we've done with this plan, we've tried to work with as much of the structure as possible, tried to do a minimal amount of really reconfiguring. The walls that are new are shown shaded. So the things that we've done are, and the live scan rooms stay the same. We've increased the area of dispatch to give them kind of a consolidated area, and left most of the other restrooms on that side alone. Most of the rooms on the patrol side and the break room stay the same. And then the locker room, basically we looked at several concepts of trying to get ADA accessibility into those locker areas. The building official was coming up with a unisex shower room that would also provide your ADA accessibility. So in the addition that we have off the back of the building, this 10 feet right in here, we increased the size of the men's locker room, and then we were able to get this unisex shower and bathroom here that would also kind of double as a decontamination area for patrol officers coming back. So they don't have to enter all the way into the locker room. They could use that as a decontamination area. In the administration for commander support, and then clerical and reception here, and then opening up, there used to be an office right in here that we're opening up to provide a corridor to go from the new secured parking lot. Property evidence has been moved to the old holding area, and then we're providing some pass-through lockers from that hallway into property evidence. What we've done with the electrical and data room, we've essentially, this is where the existing main switchboard is, so we've left that room, and it's also roof access. We've left that room exactly reconfiguring the data room here. And then, believe it or not, if you've ever been in the police station in the existing data room, the water heater is in there. So we are boxing in the water heater and creating an entrance from the outside in order to get to it, to separate it from the new data area. And then we've taken the old sally port with a in the addition area, and we're putting investigations in there. And then down at the bottom from the way it is. So essentially that's the plan for the reconfiguration. I think it accomplishes a good amount of the goals that the chief had. And in the cost estimate, we've added items like recolor coating the exterior of the building to deal with any cracking, basically to take care of the exterior skin, make sure it's sound. The leaking in the building actually happens on the southern side of the building. So by the additions, by the entry and accessibility at the entry, and the design and construction cost that Steve has given you also includes 15% contingency at this kind of very early stage. Normally, as we go through design, that would get cut down to about 10% because you'd want to carry 10% in a remodel project of contingency for anything that happens when you open up the walls.
Do you want to add anything else?
Oh, no, I think that completes our presentation, and the recommendations I outlined earlier are respectfully proposed for council consideration.
It's time for questions from the council. And I'm going to kick it off with just a few while these are still fresh in my mind. So I'll go first if the council doesn't mind. When was the last time we activated our EO? Okay, at that time, the EOC was in the training room at the fire station. Are we still utilizing that location as our EOC? Okay, recognizing that it's there are some wiring constraints and other things to make it seems to function okay. Is that pretty much your assessment?
Yes.
So, in terms of unresolved issues, I think we might be able to kind of minimize the impact of not having a state-of-the-art EOC just simply by using the existing facility that we have.
Yes, that's correct, because the police or the fire department is in the dam inundation area under FEMA. It can't be identified as our primary EOC, so technically the police department is our primary EOC. The fire department is the fire department EOC. So yes, it works fine for now, but at some point we wanted to get that resolved. And then we also have a big interest in trying to be able to have the capacity to do some joint EOC work with other cities, which would require an expanded room. We can't do that now, but that would still be a goal and that we'd want to work for in the future.
Side, the funding side, Steve, you indicated sale of three lots at $580,000. How long ago were those figures derived? The reason why I ask is because building lots in the Arroyo Grande area, they seem to range somewhere between 250 and 300,000. So I'm thinking that estimate might be a little low. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the appraisal was a little bit low and a little bit old, but we also determined that we need to install 100,000. So we thought the sale of lots is probably about an additional 100,000, and then the cost of that will be bring it down 100,000, and then we also have the realtor fees and fees. So that's what got us down to the 580. You're right on it as far as the numbers we were looking at.
More revenue than what we're projecting, cash in hand, then I'm assuming there would be a commensurate reduction in the need to tap sales tax.
That's
Is
correct.
That where it would come from?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, Chief, on the stats that you read, I don't that information, that's good information. I didn't find it in the staff report, not in the detail under it. Is that correct?
No, it wasn't in the staff report. These are numbers that we just recently ran.
Could you do me a big favor and summarize that for me and email it to me? And the reason why is because on Thursday I'm going to be up in seating, and the governor is going to be there, and he wants to entertain questions from the board, and the first question I'm going to bring up are the impacts of realignment on our street, the crime increase in our streets, and I think that's on the minds of a lot of folks. So if you could summarize that for me.
An important point that I made to the city manager, and I think would be valuable, is in a community the size of Arroyo Grande, when we look at items like 22% increase in motor vehicle thefts, or a 46% increase in assaults, those are real people out here that we know. We're not such a large community that we don't know so many of these people. So this is really touches a lot of.
Steve, I'm going to ask you questions that I already know the answer to, only because you already know the answer as well, just so that for the benefit of people knowing what we talked about before the meeting. Via email, we talked about, I asked you if on this, on the design of this project, can you comment on that?
I'd be glad to. Yeah, normally on a contract this size, well, we wouldn't go out to bid, and since this is a professional services project, and particularly when it comes to engineers and architects, because there's state law that provides some restrictions on utilizing price as an evaluation criteria in selecting it. We found a way consistent with the law that you're able to do that, but the details. So in this particular case, it's somewhat of a unique project because there's such a history on it, and particularly when we get down to this site, the architect we've used, who we've been very happy with and has done a good job, has done so much work get us to this point. So if we were to go out to bid again, we'd, you know, a big part of the process is evaluating expertise and experience and those type of things. And so we just thought it would be fairly unlikely that other firms would be competitive, and we'd be putting together a very time-intensive proposal if their success rate is going to be small. And so that's why we felt that in this case, given these circumstances, it would probably be more cost-efficient for us and more productive to go ahead and award a contract to the existing cost estimating guidelines. The design costs appeared to be about 10% of the overall construction cost, which is usually a rule of thumb that's found in these cost estimating manuals as a basic rule to go by and determine what's reasonable. That's a little less unclear in discussions with our engineer and different staff. We felt they were they all looked reasonable, but that could be an area if there's concerns. One option I mentioned to Councilmember Ray is if there were concerns with the cost. There's a couple options. One, you could direct us to go back and relook at the construction management costs and some of the other subs we might have a better luck getting some savings there because there's a little more variety of options available to us to look into as far as providing those types of services.
Well, Steve, can you comment on cost or the proposed construction cost to determine whether or not the design costs were correct, but where did we get the construction costs?
The construction costs are estimated by the architect.
Okay.
And there are, those are all broken down in his cost, both those cost proposals that are attached to your staff report.
That's my next question. So when we talked about possibly separating out design and construction costs, I'm looking at page 7 of the staff report, attachment 1. And I want to make sure that I'm reading this properly. There's two bolded costs, the direct construction costs and total project soft costs, which include apparently architectural fees and some other engineering type things and all of that. So what you're talking about now and then taking a look at, well, you're not proposing this, but you know what I mean, what we discussed is possibly pulling out the $762,000 and taking a look at that or possibly going out to bid on pieces of that or spending a little more time working on that number. Is that what I heard you say?
Let me see. Automated system. So I was going by total direct construction costs as far as how I estimated the fees. Just the architectural fees would be the $79,987. Let me see, construction administration. I'd have to look through this, but I think it was based primarily on that initial $80,000.
No, I'm sorry, maybe you're misunderstanding my question. I'm not asking you where you got the 10%. That if we were to separate out the contract, where would the separation occur?
Yeah, well, and that's what I was trying to point out, is I think the basic architectural and engineering fees are the $79,997.
Okay.
So we would separate those out, beginnances or something that I have to go through this that might need to be added on. But that's the basic design cost. Craig can correct me here if I'm missing something. But I think the other things are either supplemental services or construction management services that could be added on later.
Okay. And when you say the rest, you're also...
700 and...
The direct construction costs.
I know what the number you're talking about. I'm wondering what was your question on that?
Okay, let me read to you what you said in the email. You said another option would be to approve the design but hold off on the construction phase services. I'm asking you what in that number is the construction phase services. Does that include the direct construction costs or where what are you talking about?
Okay, sorry, I wasn't understanding your question. No, what I was saying, not holding off on the construction, but holding off or restructuring-related services. So construction management, some of these other, project inspection, construction testing. We'd have to go through and find out which of those maybe could performed in-house. Maybe some of them we need to contract out. So all the architect-related services related to construction. Varying ways to provide those services and see if there would be cost savings in doing it one of those other ways.
Let me give you an example of why I'm asking the question. So if you look at line 3, re-roofing the building, and maybe the architect can answer this question, but who are about to bid on that? So where is that number coming from? How are we getting those numbers? And these are all individual services that in theory could be bid. I'm not suggesting that we do this. I'm just saying I don't have any way of knowing where those numbers come from. And there, as we see, when we get bids on things and RFPs on things, there can be vast sways or swings in how much things can cost.
So once again, the construction activity is only an estimate at this point. So he's broken down that for the purposes of the estimate. I assume most of these tasks would all be folded into the overall contract for construction. Is that correct?
I'll try to see if I can kind of shed a bit. Is a direct bid. So the documents that we prepare for the $79,997 would go out to contractors for bid. All these elements up top would be bid to a general contractor. So none of that is in our service. Clear to me, and it's not as clear to others. Our fees really go down, and I think what Steve is talking about. Our fees, or what we're talking about, are actually only really the first three line items underneath where it's the bold of the architectural fees. What Steve, I think, is talking about is holding off on the construction administration portion of our project and discussing how we move forward based on a project. And what he's saying is there may be less that I can do that would be less than this $45,000. Everything below the reproduction of bid sets, whether it's construction testing or whether it is project inspection, are not part of the services that I provide. So those items would have to either go out to an RFP. For example, construction testing is going to be a lab. Some of the labs to RFP to figure out who you're going to have do the construction testing.
And who handles that RFP process? Do you handle that or do we handle
that? I can assist with it.
But the city's in charge. Is that the same thing as true for the design portion, I mean the construction portion as well?
It would be, there's a certain requirement for project inspection, and that's probably more in-house, so that's probably your own building department that's going to be doing the project inspection. But I always carry it as a line item in case you decide to hire an outside inspector. So those are all things that you as a city, whether it's survey or soils testing, are all things that I provide.
And the same thing's true for the GC as well up top, is that we handle that portion of the RFP?
The
general contractor?
All the direct construction costs. Typically, in my services, I have bid support in my services. So I help you develop. If the contractor has questions on elements of the documents, I interpret and answer those questions for you. If there are addenda that need to be put out, I assist the city with putting out those addenda. So those are things that I assist you in the bid process. I don't necessarily run the entire bid process.
So that would be up to
that is included in.
All right, thank you. And again, please understand my questions are all about process, not about quality, Craig. So
I'm not.
Forgive me. Steve, with regard to funding the investigation senior officer, what are possible other funding mechanisms besides sales tax? I'm for whatever reason, we don't go forward with that right now.
The only other choice is for general fund, but that budget has a shortfall. I do want to point out with the local sales tax funds, not only does it, and move it over to that, but when we did the local sales tax measure and went through the specific things that the needs that we had proposed for the measure to be used for, public safety staff, enhancing public safety staffing was one of those criteria. So it is consistent with the commitments made for.
And if we had not done that, if the governor's terrible thing that he did to us that's increasing our crime or whatever the answer to that is, if we had that $180,000 this year and next year and for the next 5 years, let's say, because the idea here is that this project would get us through the next 5 years, what would we be doing with that money if we weren't for, or what would have happened to it at the end of each fiscal year? Would that have been thrown into an enterprise fund or some sort of earmarked fund, or what would have happened to that?
If we didn't do the police building project?
If we did neither that nor staffing the position, what would have happened to the money if we hadn't done either thing?
Is this under a...
We are at some point, so that's, we know that answer.
Well, I ask that because that's the situation we've actually been the last few years, and we have been trying to keep that. That's why we got $710,000. We haven't been budgeting that much money each year, but each year we've been working on this, and we've been accumulating that money that's been budgeted each year. So as long as...
Then if we use this for staffing, then if I was jotting during your slides, so I just want to make sure I understood your slide, that if we do this to fund the position, then in order to possibly build in the future, then we would have to depend on one of three things, either future increased revenues, consolidation, or the bond measure threshold being reduced. So one of those three things to be able to move forward after, if we're going to do a more permanent solution.
Those are the things we've identified. I mean, something might be completely different by then, but as far as kind of what we thought, things that we've been discussing that we don't have a handle on now that hopefully we'd have some answers in 5 years, those would be the things that we'd look
at.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to tag along with her subject before I go on to parking, long-term funding of the police position, if in 5 years we decide that we need to do something different, more expansive, are we still going to be...
With the... Yeah, and likely those costs will go up. We've tried to average it a little bit, but we're unsure how much those costs will increase. As that cost increased, it might mean there was less of that extra money available for the money we have now and how we've programmed it and how it's broken down. As that position's cost increased, then we would have less of that $50,000 annually left to go towards the police building. But that's assuming there's no changes in the overall local sales tax revenue. Okay. We appear to be, it's...
Okay. And then I heard a couple different things from different people on parking, so I want to start and maybe ask the chief, are you underparked now?
We're very underparked now. Ask any neighbor that lives around us. We try to...
How underparked are you?
Well, I think some people, when we were talking about the 32 number, the ideal number, are thinking, like, how can you have that many? So let me take a second just to give you an idea how that adds up. And it adds up pretty quickly. On a typical day shift, we can have a minimum of 3 to 5 patrol officers working. We have 3 part-time people that come in that do training, permits, and the high-tech crime lab. 2 neighborhood services officers, a property evidence technician, 1 equipment fleet person, part-time. And then we usually have at least 2 volunteers working in the office. That's not counting the second shift that comes on at 6 p.m., another 5 officers, 3 to 5 officers, depending. So that pushes you to 26. In other words, the other people have to find a place to park to relieve the people that are currently parked. Doesn't count the fact that this plan calls for putting a storage facility, 1,000 square foot storage facility, in our existing parking lot where the police cars are. We already park our command post trailer that we have, our communications truck, generators, range trailer at Public Works. We park it in between the building and the trailer because of the storage building. So when you see that's 6 more spots. That's to accommodate at least 2 to 3 more vehicles, plus trailers, plus the lost spots. So that's how it adds up pretty quick.
I guess what I'm missing is how many on-site parking spots do you have now?
Inside?
Yes.
City cars or the volunteer cars. So all employee cars are parked outside the facility.
Okay, so I guess I'm trying to break that down. How many cars are out on the street versus on the lot now? Because I've heard 2 different things. Craig said 23 spots for the remodel, and that was enough parking spots. Steve said a good concept of how many you're actually short on site right now.
Well, let me explain it this way. It might be easiest. We only have 1 current parking lot that's enclosed, in other words, behind a gate, because we only have room for the patrol cars, 9 patrol cars, and the other vehicles that are in there, unmarked staff cars, the truck.
How many spots?
Motors.
Roughly.
I think we have the drawing that'll show it.
Just a rough estimate.
Okay, I'm going to guess 9. I would say maybe 18. 18?
18. Okay, and then the remodel project. How many on-site parking spaces are you going to have with this one now where you're not talking about taking out any?
We would end up with a total of about 35. And the number the 32 that I gave you earlier was kind of the expanded, I think what we were working on with some of the other projects, the expanded amount of staff-only vehicles. What we were dealing with was roughly 17 patrol vehicles at consolidation, plus the things that I kind of mentioned. There were trailers and generators and all those types of things that just kind of take up space necessarily. So we get about 35, which will come pretty close to the staff that you currently have in the building, but wouldn't be close to consolidation with the numbers we were using at consolidation for the other larger projects.
So I guess, Steve, it comes back down to my question before about the trees, and that is, if we can get 35 spots and not remove the trees, why are we entertaining discussion last time we talked about doing that?
I think the number he's counting is in the old lot, too, right?
Correct.
Right. So with the new lot, we're still short quite a bit. But once again, this evening, all we're recommending is to be able to show the different layout and see what the difference is. I mean, you're right. If it comes, worth it. But we really don't know that until we can lay out different options and let you see them and then let you decide.
It just seems like you're just, and maybe I'm missing the boat altogether, but it seems to me like you're describing in the new plan that you would have close to sufficient parking without doing anything with the trees.
Explain that again.
I could help out a little bit because I think that what's happening is you're confusing, you're adding in the spaces for the patrol cars into the 32 does not include the patrol cars. The 32 spaces that the chief is looking for is for employee parking. The 35 spaces would buy patrol cars and various other vehicles. So the total parking need, including parking vehicles, is way more than 32. I'm going to say it's probably 50 or 55.
Okay. That's all, Mr. Mayor.
Would you like us to run through those numbers one more time? Would that help?
We'll move on to Councilmember Guthrie, then.
I have two questions, and they're mostly related to the cost, just because this just seems like an incredibly low estimate to me. And I know it's based real roughly on unit cost, multiplying things out based on square footage, but this is then the other, when we're going to do either a new building or an add-on to this building in square footage. So I had two fairly specific questions. One of them is, one of the major problems with this building, as I remember, is that the roof and the air conditioning, and those were, I'm remembering, $300,000-$400,000 all by themselves. So I'm wondering, I'm going to ask the obvious question. Obviously, we're going to repair the roof and put in the air conditioning. It just concerns me that the number still seems relatively low. So I asked two things. One of those included in there, and how confident are you in this method for estimating a remodel project? And that's going to actually lead to another question.
I mean, I'm at the stage of the process, which is why we include a larger contingency. I did break out the roof separately. And so using means, which is one of the cost estimating books, to determine what the cost of re-roofing that building is. And I broke out the cost of the site separately. So those are things, I think, in my detailed building. I mean, I'm using a relatively low number across all the square footage because predominantly we're just replacing some finishes and doing some paint work in those areas. But I have discussed these numbers with my mechanical engineer because, again, I think like Steve indicated, I went back to the very initial report and study I did on this building, and I know the age of and how many units need to be replaced. They're not really big units. We're talking about replacing in-kind in-place, not redoing all the ductwork and those types of things. So essentially it's picking up an old unit and putting a new unit right back down in its place, which doesn't have all the added costs of redoing the ductwork we're not looking at. We felt that was a reasonable approach in discussions with my mechanical engineer.
The second thing is, I call it a remodel in place, you know, like as we were talking about last time. I wonder if you can just in the thumbnail give us an idea of physically how this takes place. I know this is one of the unknowns about relocation, but having done this before, how would you see us proceeding with operating the police department while we're, I'm going to say, remodeling half of this building? Just a short.
Several discussions about this with the chief as I was driving down the highway. You know, it looks like it's probably more of a situation where, you know, you bring some trailers in and try to give the contractor the most certainty you're going to get in your pricing is if you can give him most of the building. And that's so that's kind of what we're trying to lean toward and looking at potentially letting them grade that north parking lot and bringing in a couple of interim for a short period of time. So that's kind of the relocation that we're talking about, not necessarily trying to work in and around completely the police as they're in there, because I'm not sure 100% certainty that you could really do that, and it would drive the cost up, because if you're going to have the guy, if you're going to have them do after-hours work, or if you're going to have them working it around, you know, partition something, or, okay, you have a guy working in there, what if you have a big incident, and now you need that area cleared, what does that do, you know, what does that do to your cost, because now it's a change order. The guy planned on doing work today, and he can't work today because you have a big arrest. So I think our goal is to look at relocating them on site into potential some limited trailer, let them take as much of the building as possible versus having them work in and around the police as they try to work in that building.
So we pretty much empty the building and operate out of the trailers. Okay, and the final question has to do with this, and I was the one to ask the question about widening the street, only because when it was a private, widen the street in this design. So just somebody could quickly point out to me how we wouldn't be losing all of the greenscape in this parking lot. And second, and this may be better if we do ask you to bring back scenarios for the parking lot, done, what would the savings be if we combined it with the rest of Halcyon versus doing it separately? I've been right now, it's a sort of a widening to nowhere, because what would the savings be for doing it now? And that may be something we need to look at down the road. But right now, I just actually don't see how you can get it's almost 10 feet wider, as I remember, how you can get 10 feet out of that drawing without shortening the parking spaces or giving up all of the parkway and sidewalk.
So to the extent of where the current pullout is right now, so that's actually it's around 6 feet. And so looking at that, I've looked at it that it would reduce the parking by about 4 feet, or I mean about 6 feet. It would reduce the green space by about 6 feet, so it would become smaller. And I still have some adjustment room, I think, in that particular plan that I could eke out some more without losing any parking. So I've looked at that. It would definitely make the Memorial Park smaller. But again, this is, you know, the fortunate and unfortunate things about our current technology is that this looks like a finished plan, and it isn't. So it's a conceptual plan that can still be pushed and pulled, and we can deal with those eventualities. I know that there's enough room in there to deal with widening if that becomes necessary. Yeah, I would look at adjusting the plan now with what we go out to bid with and what we do in construction documents to make sure that you're not going to be pulling out parking to widen the road. You're not changing the configuration so much that you're having to redo the parking lot.
All right, thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem? Okay, all right, very good. This is not a public hearing, but obviously an important issue for the community, and so I'd like to give the public an opportunity to come forward on this item. If anyone in the public would like to come forward and make a comment, this would be your opportunity. Anyone? You're on the edge of your chair there. No? Okay. All right. All right. We'll close public comment, bring this back to the council. We'll start on my right with Councilmember Guthrie.
I've always felt that this site, reusing this site, was in our long-run interest, and I'm not quite sure I'm happy about the way that we end up arriving here, but I do think particularly the phase approach here is a good one. I think staff point here is that we actually don't think with the changes in technology that policing will change over the next 5 to 10 years, and it's likely to require less space than more space. It's been one of my points all along. So I do think this is a good interim plan. Clearly we can't continue to operate the building. We should have done this probably 5 years ago, even if we were going to build the building. But I do agree, the building always seemed like it was right there. Why would we fix this old car when we were getting a new one? So I do think reusing the building, I am a little bit concerned about the cost, but we'll deal with that when they come along. As you know, I have strong concerns about whether the parking is necessary, but I have actually had some rethinking on this personally. I mean, if this was a private project, we would never allow a private developer to say, I'm going to park my employees on the street. And yet that's the way this is. I think what sort of throws us here is the secure parking. It's really just the same parking lot, but it's secure. So I'm less concerned about the fact that we are, in fact, a third of our budget here, almost a third of our budget is actually to achieve this parking, this parking lot. And I think one of the confusions, I'll just make a quick comment, and when you come back with the parking plan, if that's the direction we go tonight, that you do include all of the parking, so it's not quite as confusing as it was this evening. I think the other side of this is that if, in fact, we do end up in a position where we are going to go through, provide some sort of consolidated police services, and we're going to be the provider, that we're going to need this land, even if it's not for parking, in order to accomplish some expansion of our facilities. So I'm in favor of moving forward with the purchase of the land. I do think we should take a look at the maximum use of the land we have available. I don't know what the removal of the trees would save us, but clearly, you know, clearly the trees in the best part of the lot are problematic for us to work through. So I do want the parking plan to come back. I'd like the parking plan to come back and us look at widening the street, even though I'm not sure that's the best move at this time. I do want to know what we would save as doing as part of the other project, because we are going to be doing it, I think, sometime in the next 10 or 15 years. But so now might be the time. I just had a couple quick comments on the EOC. I always hesitate to comment with two experts up here. But again, I don't think we know what future EOCs will look like either. I mean, they may very well be virtual. I mean, in fact, they're very likely to be virtual. Then, in fact, you will not have a single location where everybody goes to and has a command center and does all these things. That everybody is, as it was described to me, will be doing it from their desk for many operations. And it's also likely that the EOC will be located, there'll be one or two EOCs in the county, not, you know, one in Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach and another one in San Luis Obispo, that kind of thing. So it's likely that our EOC, emergency operations, will be run from San Luis Obispo or run from the sheriff's station out on Highway 1. That may very well be the scenario that works best. So there's no reason to repeat this. Which brings me to a somewhat tangential idea that I do think that we need to move forward with approaching the county about providing dispatch and sort of developing this relationship that we would need for an expansive EOC that serves a whole lot of communities and not just ours and not just us and our neighbors. So I'd like to see sometime in the near future that we're having that conversation brought back for some sort of decision by council. So with all that said, I'm in favor of the recommendation by staff, and including the recommendation to come back with different scenarios for the achieving as much parking as possible. So there's no reason to buy a piece of land and then not use it as much as possible. And I agree with the basic premise here that, in fact, we do have to deal with the reality. I'm not sure realignment's going to be quite as horrific as it seems right now, but it might be, and we need to be prepared for that. And the more work we do up front, the less we'll have to do later. So I do think that the refunding of the position is probably necessary at this time. But I do think, again, somewhere down the line, we need to be looking at where are the efficiencies where we can control staff, because clearly over time, safety staff is going to get more and more expensive as PERS has made clear to us. So with that, yeah, I can support staff's positions to move forward on this tonight. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I'm happy to see the funding. Seems like it'll be paid off, assuming the numbers are close, fairly soon, and I like that idea, although I think a new station would have been wonderful, and we were working hard at that. But it is what it is. I still have some concern about the parking, and that's going to be my biggest discussion issue going forward. I want to see us try to preserve as much of the green belt as we can. Maybe it's not possible, but I think it is. I'm a little concerned about the police position, although it seems the way you describe it, Steve. We're committed to funding this position, and something else will just have to take less funding if it gets down to that, meaning station issues. Because I would hate to fund a position for a period of time and then come back and go, well, now this other priority's come up. I think if we're going to do it, we need to prioritize it for the long term. So. Anyway, those are my comments. I'm willing to, at this point anyway, go forward with staff's recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Ray.
Okay, taking these in order. Conceptually, this is what, when we talked about what we were going to recommend as our first choice, this is what Councilmember Guthrie and I both dissented on a 3-2 vote about the other location. So this is conceptually what I wanted to see. So as far as the concept of what we're doing here, I'm totally behind it. It was what I wanted in the first place. Where it's breaking down for me is on, well, I'm just going to take these 1 through 6 because we added the widening in here. For the approval of the agreement with IBI, again, I want to be really clear that I have no problem with IBI. I have an issue with the process here, and as it was explained during the staff report here, that we went directly to IBI when we made the decision that we would need to go back here, and we said, would you give us a conceptual plan? The problem I have with this is similar in approach to what we've done with Wallace Group and the engineering, where we've got an expert who is very, very good at his job, who does lots of work with us with lots and lots of background, and so we default there. I have no problem with Wallace Group either. I think we got a bargain for many, many years. But I'm concerned with the public perception that we didn't take this out for an RFP, and we did that, as it says here, on the assumption that the other people weren't going to get the bid and on the assumption that the bids were going to be higher or take more time. And we didn't give those firms the opportunity to prove that to be true. So I have a B that, given the amount of work that IBI has done, that they might have been awarded that proposal. But we've done this in the past, and we've really hung ourselves out there with the public, and I don't like the way we went about this process. So with regarding to here on principle, not because I have a problem with IBI or with their proposal or anything else. This is as nothing. Again, Craig, I want to be very careful that I'm not disrespecting you. With regard to the purchase and sale agreement, I am absolutely in favor of doing that piece of property, nor any other piece of property is never going to be cheaper. And we have got that agreement ready to go. So the property went through there, and the controversy over those trees was really, in my mind, inaccurately minimized in the staff report. And I am absolutely not in favor of pulling those trees out of here after we put the community and that group in VCA through what we put them through. I can't even fathom me back with those alternatives. I don't think the loss of the public trust is worth the few parking spaces that we might gain on that. For number 5, approving the sales tax funds, I would rather see at this point us take a loss in the general fund than to fund it through sales tax funds, because for the reasons that I suggested to staff, that we are going to have a long-term debt service eventually here through sales tax funds, and I for a while we probably will get increased revenues as the economy recovers, but you know we'll go up and down over time, and I don't like funding personnel in that way. I'd rather take the hit in the general fund and find a way to have that happen and get this person those funds for debt service and for police facilities, because we know that this is not the end of the story for police services, and that also mitigates against the issue that Councilmember Guthrie had, which is what if these numbers are not right? We're going to have to come up with that money somehow. So I am absolutely for hiring that now, and I the use of reserves or something like that to get us through so that we can program ahead later. With regard to the widening, I'm just going to listen tonight. I don't have a huge opinion. It seems to me that to do it sooner rather than later makes sense, and to design for it now makes sense, but I haven't seen any staff report on it. I don't really know enough to make a comment. It sounds good to me that we would be weighing that to my colleagues on that one. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Just as a point of clarification, Councilmember Ray, of the 5 recommendations, staff's recommendations, which?
Well, absolutely, I'm in support of 3 to approve the purchase and sale. And I would support 5 if we were going to not use sales tax funds to do that. So that requires revision. Each of the other ones, again, with 1 and 2, I am going to give a dissenting vote, most likely just on principle and process.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'll make this fairly brief. Been kicked around a bit up here. And I'll follow the same type of logic that a new police station in the immediate future. I mean, we've been trying and trying, and we're not. So we absolutely need to come up with a temporary or interim solution. I think the conceptual plan we have before us tonight is an excellent solution to that problem. So I'll support the conceptual plan. In terms of the agreement with IBI, I think that probably no other organization with our needs, the facilities, the existing property, than IBI. So I think it made a lot of sense to go ahead and have them prepare the conceptual drawings we had and to go forward with that. And I'll support going forward with the agreement with IBI. I do agree with the purchase of North Halcyon. I think that at this point it's the best solution to our problem. In parking, when VCA came forward trying to expand their facility, I supported taking those trees out. I like trees. I'm very much in favor of trees, but I don't particularly care for eucalyptus trees. Those trees are not something I think long-term need to be saved in this city. And I think that if we take those trees out in favor of parking, then by putting some other trees somewhere else in the city and expanding our population of trees, you know, 3-to-1, 4-to-1 ratio, I'm not sure what, but I will support looking at alternatives and recommendations for expanding the parking, and I don't object to taking the trees out. I didn't object to taking them out for VCA, and I don't object to taking them out for us. I kind of agree in terms of local sales tax and using those funds to fund the officer position. As a short-term solution, I'll support that, but I think we should be looking at a long-term solution to funding that position and not looking to take local sales tax revenue to do that more than 1 or 2 years. So I'd like to see a step term as to how we would fund that position. And I think that we should examine, while we're about this, let's examine the possibilities and potentials for the expansion of Halcyon. If we're going to be doing work on Halcyon this summer in terms of repaving it, and it makes sense economically to do that now, by all means, let's consider that. So that if we need to, we just snap it off at the dotted line and we don't lose any parking spaces, we don't lose a lot of the green area and keep that intact. So that's my position tonight, and I'll support. One thing, going back to the EOC, I don't see virtual EOCs coming into play for quite a while. It's dealing with problems. We're going to need a small EOC. We don't need a comprehensive, huge EOC, but it's going to need to be a place where people get together and work together. That's the best way to solve problems. And the electronic version, the alternate, the virtual EOC is right a decade or two. So.
Okay. Thank you. Just some general comments, and then I think what we're going to do is take longer, but I think we probably need to do that. I'll start with just some follow-on comments from Councilmember or Mayor Pro Tem Costello and the concerns on the EOC from Councilmember Guthrie. And I don't think FEMA has, but it's a place where, quote, centralized communication and coordination take place. And particularly in a multi-agency setting, that means face-to-face coordination. So a lot of that needs to take place in a facility as opposed from decentralized locations, particularly with on the staffing issue. I have to go back to comments that I made earlier about the whole realignment issue. This is a front burner issue. The stats that you shared with us, Chief, are stats that we're here. And so this remains a front burner issue. There are a lot of unknowns. We're still hoping for some supplemental legislation that will contain funding provisions. This is going to be one of the issues that is going to be raised. Chiefs of police have issues with this. The associations have issues with it. So I don't see it going away. I concur with the fact that as a short-term solution, it makes sense for us to use resources that we have in hand. We do not hand on this position. And it's not likely that we're going to in the immediate future, and yet there's an immediate need for more resources on the street. So, but again, longer term, how that's fashioned and configured will depend on whether or not there is some additional funding resources or funding sources that open up of what's happening on the street with our crime rates. As to the facility, again, some general comments. I think the long and short of this situation is that we're making the best of a bad situation. This is not optimum. It's not what we had among our alternatives when we looked at what we were going to do at or what we could do. This is essentially a Band-Aid. And so it'll get us by, but that's about all. I'm still hoping and holding out for the Branch Street option, and which might take us back into a debate, but that's okay. Where that goes, I'm glad from a facility standpoint that we're at least doing this incrementally, because there are so many unknowns. And as we move along, that the progression, we'll have more facts that we can in fact consider. I think at this point, you know, I'm inclined to take a look at the tree issue in terms of alternatives. And the reason why I mention that is because what's different about where we are now, we were talking about just a direct removal of those trees. We were not talking about coming in with a plan to, in fact, plant additional trees or create more landscaping opportunities. And the reason why, as I recall, is because what was being proposed by the VC to plant any more trees on that site. So that's what's different here. That said, there was a long discussion, as most of us recall, about the nature of those eucalyptus trees, and recognizing that not all eucalyptus trees are what we see shedding leaves and shedding bark all over the place, and that these particular trees, some of them were healthy, some of them were questionable, some of them needed to be supported, but this particular species, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see Jeff in here any longer, but I could be wrong about this, but I thought that this particular tree species was on our approved list. And if that's the case, then I don't mind unwrapping it, but I think we have to be very mindful of all of the different facets that were discussed with the VCA and which apply now and which do not apply. So this should be a spirited vote. Interesting. See if we can't go right into a series of motions here.
Could I make an additional comment, Mr. Mayor?
Did you have additional comments?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I did want to, on the question of taking the, as you know, I'm also very protective of the local sales tax fund. I look at the possibility of doing this, but I do really think that historically we have actually used the local sales tax funds to temporarily fund other things that were not part of its, I'll say, intended use, even though staffing is part of its intended use. Then back over. I think I could specifically think of the city hall improvements were removed over at one point, and I believe at one point we had $400,000 that we thought we were going to be short in the general fund that we were going to fund from sales tax 1 year, and then in the end we didn't have to and we didn't do it. So I think we'll get several more bites at the apple as far as moving this funding into general fund. Of course, we do find the technology to improve policing so that it can be done more cost effectively. But I think we'll get several bites of the apple in order to correct this inconsistency in the long run. So those are just my additional comments.
If I could make a comment as well, I really like perhaps that we could approve this on a temporary basis, a 1 year. I'd like to see 1 year and have it revisited as part of our next budgetary process and see where we go from there. So I can certainly live with that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Things are looking up here. Any other?
Mayor Ferrara, one minor housekeeping task that I'd like to get done before you start taking action. And this is with regard to recommendation three. You may have noticed that there's a attachment five is a 25-page purchase and sale agreement that we received on Thursday from this document. So if you could authorize the manager, in addition to having the power to execute the document, to make minor modifications consistent with council direction, that would facilitate the process greatly.
You're talking about the sale of property?
Right. So
okay.
If those words just make minor modifications, that would be helpful.
All right. All right. Very good. All right, let's go to the first recommendation. Do we have a motion on the approval of the police station upgrade conceptual plan?
So moved.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the police station upgrade. Call, please.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
No.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Let's move to item two, the approval and authorization of the city manager to execute an agreement for consultant services to or amount not to exceed $145,800. Do we have a motion there?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilor?
Yes. Item three, approve and authorize the city manager execute a purchase-sale agreement with modifications as necessary. Tim, does that cover it? Okay. For the acquisition of the property at 270 North Halcyon for $325,000, do we have a motion?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Item four, with regard to employee parking, including options involving both the preservation and removal of the ED.
So moved.
All right. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
And a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
No.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Okay. Item five, authorize the use of future local sales tax fund previously programmed for debt service for the police station project fund to fund an investigations senior officer position. And I'm going to add in that statement on a temporary basis available.
I'll move that.
I'm a little concerned about the wording because it sounds like it's a temporary position.
No, just the funding provision.
So I'm wondering if we should word it differently to say it's funded at 1 year. We'll relook at what the funding source is, something like that.
Okay.
Okay, I'll withdraw the original motion and make a motion accepting that language.
Okay. All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Discussion?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes.
Okay, do we want a motion on examining the options to widen Halcyon, the affected by widening Halcyon?
Second.
Okay. That was not one of staff's recommendations. Help me out. Was that
can we make
defined?
Can we make that?
Was that defined well enough in the staff report?
I think the issue is fair for debate. Council's comfortable with it, but it wasn't really dealt with on any significant level in the staff.
What is your recommendation on that, Tim?
Well, I don't think get Tim's help here, but I don't think you're asking. I think for it could include widening of Halcyon, so we're not asking you to approve anything on Halcyon at this point. So I don't.
That was my intention.
Yeah, so I think it falls within the options of the parking lot design.
I do. That. I do.
If indeed it falls within the options of the parking lot, I'll withdraw the motion.
All right.
Kelly, can I respectfully ask that in the action minutes that my dissenting reasons be included? Because sometimes they don't end up in there. Thank you.
Okay, how's everyone doing?
How are you doing?
I need a couple of minutes, if it's okay. So council's going to adjourn for a quick three-minute break.
I want to bring the city council meeting back to session. You'll notice that the mayor has stepped out. He is not feeling well, so he's gone home. And we'll continue the meeting without him. I believe that brings us now to item, go back to my electronic version here. Okay, so we're up to item 11. That's 11A, consideration of an Norton Business Improvement District. I believe, Steve, that you'll be briefing us on this one.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor Pro Tem and members of the council. We have just a brief presentation for you this evening to bring you up to speed on this, as we covered in quite a bit of detail at the last council. Introduce an ordinance establishing the Arroyo Grande Tourism Business Improvement District, fixing the boundaries thereof, and providing for the levy of a business assessment to be paid by lodging businesses in such district. It's estimated that this will generate about $140,000 tourism marketing, specifically focused on attracting new hotel stays within the community. There's been an effort that was led by the Chamber of Commerce in partnership with the hoteliers, the VIA, the city, and other volunteers. At the February 26 meeting, staff recommended and the City Council adopted a resolution, the AGTBID, and that's all been sent and noticed to the hoteliers, providing them an opportunity to submit a protest. If a majority of protests are not received from lodging representatives by the next meeting, the Council can adopt the ordinance at that meeting for consideration. The city attorney has also incorporated a few minor changes since the last ordinance was presented, and so I'd like him to just briefly address those with you so you know what the changes are.
You notice you have a supplemental distribution that includes some minor modifications to the ordinance. Under Prop 26, which was adopted in 2010 and expanded the definition of a tax, it was a constitutional amendment. This may be considered a tax. It's accepted from the definition of a tax if it meets what's known as the direct benefit test. And let me explain that test. And specific benefit, kind of like in the general, in normal assessment districts with a property-related assessment, you break them down into general and special. It's very similar because this is not a property-related fee, and it's not. If the payer gets a direct and specific benefit and others don't get that specific direct benefit, and if the assessment reflects the direct cost of the service provided, then it's accepted from the definition of taxes. So what I tried to do and what we tried to do is really be very specific that this references to tourism and the benefits to tourism, and really refined it so that the purpose of this is really to benefit the lodging industry in and of itself. And we're going to have to be fairly careful in utilizing the proceeds of the assessment for that purpose and that purpose alone. And I'm sure because of the advisory committee, that group, that it shouldn't be too difficult, but everyone should be aware of how tight and refined those distributions should be.
Thank you. We'll take questions from the council.
Is this a second reading?
No, we're just introducing it this evening.
Okay, so the amendments don't make a difference at this point.
No, thankfully we got them early.
Thank you. That's all.
Jim, do you have any?
No questions.
I have no questions either, but I would open this. It's not a public hearing, but I will open this if any members. Seeing no one, we'll close that, and we'll come back, and I will accept a motion.
Mr. Mayor Pro Tem, I would like to make a motion to introduce the ordinance establishing the Arroyo Grande Tourism Business Improvement District, AGTBID. read the ordinance by...
We need to read the title, the full title.
The full title. Here it comes. Stay tuned. Here we go. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Aurora Grande establishing the Aurora Grande Tourism Business Improvement District, fixing the boundaries thereof, and providing for the levy of a business assessment to be paid by lodging businesses in such district.
Any discussion? Seeing none, have a vote, please.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Costello?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Moving on to item 12, we have city council reports. The mayor's not here. So I did attend the SLOCOG meeting back on the 3rd in the mayor's absence. A lot of business was taken up. One thing is the regional transportation plan progresses. RTP progress report was given finishing. So we do have an increased burden to local agencies or finding new general fund, you know, finding new funding sources. And they've got a schedule for the policy element to be out by August. Sustained community strategy by October, draft report by June, and then the adoption of this by next October, October of 2014. I think that was the most significant issue that came up in that meeting. Also have some notes from my other meetings. Last held on 3/27/13. An interest to us locally is the air quality index has been changed at the federal level, the way they calculate it, which is actually going to increase the number of yellow days we have up front. Also, the APCD unanimously approved sending a letter to the Cal Air Resources Board requesting exemption for San Luis County from an upcoming requirement for existing mobile agricultural equipment. This new rule was specifically identified to deal with being into an attainment of federal ozone standards. We as a county do not violate this ozone standard except in the extreme eastern portion of the county, and that's not our fault. That's pollution that's coming in from the San Joaquin Valley. So we're fairly confident that the ARB, the Air Resources Board, will provide this exemption, and we pushed for it, so hopefully we're going to see that. On the 15th, last month, our next meeting is coming up in a couple of days. One thing that is happening that people will see in all three communities, both in Rio Grande, Oceano, and in Grover Beach, is that there will be similar signage in all three stations now, indicating that it is the Five Cities Fire Authority Fire Station and not the Grover Beach Fire Station or the Rio Grande Fire Station. Fire Authority was the FEMA course that I attended 2 weeks ago with Steve and a number of other people from the city and city staff, as well as staff from Grover Beach, from the Oceana Community Service District, San Luis Obispo County, San Luis City, Atascadero, Morro Bay. The sheriff was there. This was an emergency management training course in tsunami event. Of course, we went through our tsunami warning a couple of years ago, and we learned a lot of things, and then dealt a lot with the recovery sides of this. I think the best part of this training was that we got 67 people from all over the county working together in a somewhat artificial environment, but it got everyone talking and working. And I think that this is a very said that following the events in Boston, we've got some events coming up. And when we went to talk to the sheriff, he said, well, let's get everybody together. And it was all familiar faces. So this is a great way to get people working together. So it was an outstanding course. I think it went well. Important to note classes. So it was a great experience for 67 people. And I believe that concludes my report. And, go to Councilmember Guthrie.
Neat County Area Transit have met since my last report. I did attend one of the San Luis Sewer District meetings for the mayor. And the only thing I'll report there is that they are moving towards what I'll call returning the plant to being a biologically based process versus what was predominantly a chemical-based process before that, but what the ultimate goal of making the plant operate as it was originally intended and save significant money, but also significant amounts of chlorine going into the environment. So a positive thing there. may be reports that come out of that, but it is a process they have to go through in order to a new operating standard. So I'm sure the mayor has more to say, because I know that they're also close to hiring the new operating engineer and the new administrator. So that's coming soon.
Thank you. Councilmember Ray.
I got lots of things. I'll kind of take them in the order they happen to be sitting on my marketing committee. In addition to talking about the TBID, we've also been talking about doing we did budgeting, preliminary budgeting, but then also about what kind of outreach we would do. I've learned a whole lot about new media capabilities and social media and how you get things to pop up on people's phones. Very preliminary at this point, so you'll be hearing more about how we might be doing the marketing. The terminology or the slang we use that refers to what the city attorney was talking about is that all of that marketing has to revolve around putting heads in beds. So it can't revolve around our strawberry lodging, and that is something that we've already been identifying in that committee. Let's see, I'll do that one later. For public art, which isn't on here, but the mayor has asked me to continue to report upon, you will probably be hearing for some sort of set aside for monies for that. So I've told them before they go too far with anticipating that, they need to get in front of this council and argue it. So we'll see if they listen to me on that one. So that's basically where that's going now. Their next meeting on that is in May. On EVC, let me pull that one up. Yeah. Oh, last time I had nothing to do with us except for it was a very exciting presentation on iFixit, which is a local company which is expanding like crazy, and very proud to have that in San Luis County. So just try iFixit.com, and let me triple make sure that I've got that fixed. Yeah, I think it's iFixit.com. At any rate, it's nothing else germane to Roy Grandy. With JPIA, the only thing coming out of the last month's report other than normal financials is that, like ours, they just financial results of the 11-12 fiscal year, so that just for the members of the public, unqualified sounds bad, but it's very good. That means that there were no problems with their accounting, so that's good. And also under other, I attended League of Cities. As you all know, I'm on the Transportation Subcommittee. And the only thing that was talking about suicide barriers on new bridges. And we have a potential new bridge because a remodel / redesign of the Bridge Street Bridge might potentially qualify. We decided to oppose that bill as League of Cities, and I made significant arguments on that one, so it'll be applicable to a small city like ours, but it was definitely good to be part of being able to argue on something that had potential consequences at our level. So it's definitely well worth the trip. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilmember Ray. And then Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Integrated Waste Management, since our last meeting, and the RAC has met, but nothing germane to Arroyo Grande took place. It was all Norris County stuff. And so that's all I have to report.
Thank you. Then item 13 is city council member items. Anyone have anything? No? Okay, well,
Sorry, I'm looking for that one notation.
Okay, we'll come back to you if you get it. City manager items, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Nothing there? Okay, council communications, anything?
It was ifixit.com.
Ifixit.com.
Yes. Okay. Anything you want to fix, quite literally. Your washing machine, your car, your watch, anything. It's a wiki. So quite impressive.
Thank you. Staff communications.
Oh, probably just to update you on a number of things coming up in May that might interest you. We do have, just a reminder, our volunteer banquet is next Friday, May 3rd. May is Bike Month, and I think a few of you have signed up to participate and ride bikes possibly to the council meeting or to work. And then May 29th is going to be our high school workday program that we're setting up. It's a partnership between the high school and the city, Anna Rhoda Grandy and Bloom. We're going to have all the AP students assigned to projects throughout the city. We're doing a little kickoff. The mayor's going to do a little intro, but all the council's invited that morning to come out if you want to join us.
What day of the week is that, Steve?
I'm sorry?
What day of the week?
It's either a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Okay,
I think it's a Thursday. And we should mention also the special budget meeting on the 20th at 6 o'clock has been confirmed.
Okay, thank you. And that brings us to item 17, community comments and suggestions. This is another opportunity for members of the public to address the council on any issues. No takers? Okay, we'll close that. Then we're going to be adjourning to a closed session. Again, we're going to adjourn in memory of Coach and teacher tonight. Great loss to us. And we will report out of the closed session at the beginning of the next council meeting. So we will adjourn to closed session.